Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another Mornings with the Masters, where we devote ourselves to the Lord daily with you. We are rounding out with day 5 of our Experiencing Friendship with God devotional in the Bible app. There's a link to that in the description if you guys want to follow along. And as always, I'm going to read the scripture, then I'm also going to pick with the Devo. And in full transparency, I got to read all these scriptures in a good way. I mean, that's like, honestly, God's word is worthy of our time. And so I just pray that you will embrace the scriptures just like I am right now. There's 3 of them. So the first one is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1-8. And they say this: "It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces, with 2, they covered their feet, and with 2, they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with God's glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and their entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, 'It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" The next scripture is John chapter 21, verses 15-19, and they say this: "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied, 'you know that I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question: 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter said, 'you know that I love you.' 'Then take care of my sheep,' Jesus said. A third time he asked him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time, and he said, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go.' Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, 'Follow me.'" And the last scripture is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1-10. And they say this: "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in his mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is the gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." The devotional is titled Presence-Centered Mission, and it says this: "The presence-centered life is not an idle life. It doesn't peak when we are satisfied with our Bible studies and morning devotionals. Ooh. Instead, it propels us to live out his mission on earth. An honest relationship with the Holy Spirit will transform our hearts to beat like Christ's. He is love, and knowing him causes us to love others. As 1 John 4:19 through 20 says, "We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." If the Christian lifestyle that we cultivate is not presence-centered, it will become self-centered. Oh, Lord. That was good. The mission of a self-centered Christian is to build a good life on earth. Jesus, however, offers us a better dream. The mission of presence-centered Christian is to enjoy God while bringing others into friendship as well. Friends of God get placed on holy assignment to do things that are beyond their capacity. It is often something awkward, inconvenient, and downright impossible. After the assignment is given, God offers us the gift of himself. He does not spend time hyping us up, adulating our abilities, and coddling our insecurities. Instead, he simply guarantees his friendship. This friendship empowers us for the assignment. Jesus would love to use your beautiful life to bless your street, your community, and even the world. Practicing the presence is not mere exercise of piety. It releases God's redemptive power through you and onto others. He has a mission on earth to gather his children that they may know him, and you are called to partner with him on that mission. And then there's a few questions that say, have you begun to sense what kind of mission God has for you? What does it look like? How is friendship with God part of it? Wow. 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 What like a mic drop, day five, end of the devotional that was. Man, I'm left speechless. That was so good, especially about how what like the self-centered Christian desires versus what the presence-centered, the Holy Spirit presence-centered Christian desires. Talk about just living on mission for his kingdom. Whose mission, though? Is it our mission or is it his mission? And I know a lot of us can get confused on that. And would love to offer you all Tori and I's Vision Casting Retreat guide that we made. We have it as a part of our newsletter, The Sunday Send, and I need to find a way to get that to you. Yeah, so hanging with me on that. I'll mention more on that in the next few days. I just got to figure out how to get that to you. Because it's a PDF and I just got to figure that out. But we want you to live on mission. We want this to start with, say, a morning devotional and then propel us forward into more, right? God has more for us. He has more for others through us. And so I just want to say one more thing, and I hope that this encourages you. The other day, I had a call with our financial advisor. If you guys are ever looking for a financial advisor, they're called Outpost Advisors, and they are devout believers, and their whole thing is called biblical stewardship. How to steward your finances like God wants you to. And so it's different than just like, oh, just like go put your money in this account and watch it grow. No, this is like, how do you bring God's kingdom to earth with your finances? So it's really powerful. Outpost Advisors, they also have a nonprofit called Abraham's Wallet, which just educates Christians on how to steward their money well, right? Anyways, we had our quarterly check-in call, and he was like, "Chad, have we ever talked? Do you and Tori have a vision state, or do you and Tori have a mission statement?" I was like, "Yeah, it's this." He's like, "Chad, we need to go deeper." He said, "You can basically any Christian can say what you just said, and it would make sense, and it would be right for them to say that." He said, "It should feel a little awkward. It should other people should read your mission, and it should not sound right coming out of their mouth. It should only be from you." And that really deeply impacted me in a good way, where I'm like, oh, wow, we need to get more specific on our mission that God has us to do, how to really live out the way he wants us to live out. And that's why when this devotional that we just read said this, friends of God get placed on holy assignment to do the things that are beyond their own capacity. It is often something awkward, inconvenient, and downright impossible. And that reminded me of that conversation with Mark, where he's like, "Chad, you should read it," and people would say, "Oh, this makes so much sense because that's so you. That's so you, you and Tori." You know what I mean? So I just love that question is, how are we going out on mission with the friendship of God, with the help of God, with the power of God for his kingdom and his glory? I'm so thankful for this devotional. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that for the next 30 seconds to a minute, that you'll just minister to our hearts, Lord. Amen, God. Amen. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for encouraging us. And I just wanted to share this quick thing that I felt. I don't know if it's a projection of my own things I'm working through. So receive this as like, you know, whatever. But I think the big thing that I felt during that little prayer time was God saying, Chad, you don't have to, you get to. So remind yourself as you're joining the mission center life, the presence of God centered life, you get to do this. This is not, I have to do this. This is a, you get to do it. You get to partner with God on this. And so don't receive this devotional today and think, oh my gosh, I'm doing everything wrong. I need to fix it. No, 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 no. That's not the answer. That's what the enemy wants, is for you to try to do things within your own power. You're trying to receive his acceptance, trying to receive his love, and trying to do things on your own. No, this is with, this is we get to. So we say, thank you, God, that I have fullness of you. I receive full love from you. I'm fully content because of you. And now I get to operate from overflow, from joy, from patience, from peace, from gentleness, from faithfulness. I get to operate from these things, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you that you have opened my eyes to that, that I get to do things with you. So anyways, we love y'all. And now's that perfect time to break out the journal, break out the worship music, and continue pressing to Lord. Don't forget that you are God's masterpiece, and don't forget that we love you. We love you, and we talk to you tomorrow. Adios.